This episode of the Hockey Guys podcast is brought to you by Justition Hockey, one of the leaders of the hockey fashion industry. Visit justitionhockey.com for more information on their top-of-the-line hockey apparel. Hey folks, this is episode 59 of the Hockey Guys podcast, and I'm Hunter Crowther. Last Thursday, we recorded an interview with Brandon Prest of the Vancouver Canucks. Among the topics discussed were fighting in the sport, the process of being traded, analytics, being an NHL veteran, and adapting to the modern game. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Alex Burles from the Vancouver Canucks. This is the Hockey Guys.
Hi, I'm Tyler Seguin, and you're listening to the Hockey Guys.
I'm Jamie McLennan, and this is the Hockey Guys.
I'm Jeff O'Neill, this is the Hockey Guys.
My name is Mike Camilleri, and this is the Hockey Guys.
I'm Nick Kiprios, and this is the Hockey Guys. Get him.
All right, joining us on the line right now is a man who was traded in the offseason to the Vancouver Canucks and is now in the midst of the preseason, getting ready for the 2015-2016 season. It is native of London, Ontario, Brandon Press. Brandon, thank you for coming on the Hockey Guys podcast.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, Brandon, you were traded in the offseason, and for any player, that's an initial shock to know that he's essentially picking up his life and going somewhere else. Your situation was unique, though, because you were celebrating your engagement in Italy. Could you tell the story of how you found out you were traded to the Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah, definitely a pretty crazy story. Was over in Italy, just on a little vacation after last season, and just got engaged at the beginning of the trip, with 3 days in, and then the last night of the trip, we were in Rome for our last few nights, and it was just kind of fall. It was right on free agent signing day, July 1st, so we're just kind of watching on Twitter, you know, for trades and then signings and stuff like that, and I saw that you know, the Habs had acquired Zach Cassian, but I didn't really see for who, and then I ended up getting a call from Mark Bergevin about a minute later, and realized that it was for me.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon, that must, like, I'm a big Habs fan, huge fan of you. I mean, I bet you hear that all the time. Like, you really, truly are the fan favorite, just the way you play your game. So everyone heard that. I'm not just saying that. It kind of hurts some people's heart, especially mine, because you really are that player that you fans just fall in love with. But now you're in Vancouver, you know, you're going to have a good role. What do you think your role is going to be with Vancouver, though? You know, you kind of have a player like Derek Dorsett who's got a similar role as you. What have you been told your role is, and what do you expect of yourself?
Well, you know, you don't want to change too much. It's going to be a similar role. You don't change too much. Do they keep doing the things that got me here, and that's what's expected of me. Obviously, you know, you always want to contribute offensively. But, you know, for us, guys like myself, just making sure I'm being a leader out there and bringing energy and, you know, obviously sticking up for teammates when need be, really playing well defensively and making sure our penalty kill is good. So that's something I always take pride in. So, no, I'm not going to change my game too much. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a very similar role to, you know, what I've always done.
And that role is what's made you the player you are today. You developed that role in the minors through junior, and you've had that guy who's been willing to drop the gloves whenever need be, kill penalties or do the things that, you know, we hear so often in hockey that you need for a team. But it's apparent that in the last few years, the role of the tough guy and the grinder, it's evolved a little bit where there still is fighting in the game. It still has a place, but now the player seems to be a little more skilled than he used to be. What do you do personally to adapt to the game so you still have an active role and are still a big contributor in an NHL lineup?
Yeah, well, the game's, you know, it's a fast game out there now. Since probably the last lockout, since the rule changes of the hooking and the holding, you know, there's so much speed out there and a lot of young kids coming in too. And so it's kind of all about, you know, keeping your feet moving and being able to keep your speed. speed up. You see when guys kind of start to wear out and then they kind of leave the game. The thing that you see the most is they just kind of lost a step. So that's, I think, the biggest thing for me anyway, is making sure I continue to keep that step and make sure I can keep up with those young guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Your role, you know, you're that type of player that every team needs. You know, I remember when you left New York, John Tortorella, like, instantly said, we're going to regret that. Like, that's the guy we need. So I know you're on social media. I mean, who isn't? I mean, especially in Montreal and Vancouver, you know, these huge city markets, hockey markets, you're forced to see what's going on. And with this new wave of analytics, I think, in a way, it's hurt the role of being a grinder. What are your thoughts on analytics? And, you know, I think that's what everyone's always trying to figure out. What do the players think of analytics? You know, we can see that management's starting to use it more and more. The bloggers are using it. So of a player, what's your thought on that?
Well, I think they're good and bad. I think they do measure, you know, a lot of things quite accurately. You know, I think they are needed, but they're not the, you know, I don't think they're the be-all, end-all. You know, you can't measure. There's certain things that you can't measure. I mean, you can't measure heart, you can't measure grit. There's a lot of, you know, circumstances that happen in games that they don't really take into account in the analytics. But I do think there is a spot for them in the game, and I know the coaches and management and scouts, they all go by them. So, you know, that's just the way it is. That's the way the games are all there.
Brandon, what I'm about to ask you, I'm going to ask you if you could explain a scenario for some people who listen, because I think a lot of people, when they hear guys talk about, you know, the role of, like, the code in the game and trying to, you know, kind of have a unwritten rules and barrier or lines not to cross, can you explain a situation where a player in your role sees a situation where it's starting to get a little out of hand? You can tell that emotions are running high and maybe guys are getting a little too pissed off, and you can see that something might boil over. Can you, like, and you don't have to use a specific example and you don't have to name names, but can you just sort of describe a scenario where you almost have to temper something down, or you have to get the game to the point where it's not going to be a gong show and the box score is going to be filled with pims?
So you're saying, like, maybe if I see guys are starting to run around and stuff like that, how do I kind of maybe stop another team from doing that? Or,
well, I'm just, I'm not sure. It's just kind of that scenario where people always think, like they say, where someone kind of takes a run at a guy, and some people will say, you know, a fight will neutralize it. Or is there a scenario where you almost have to just talk to a guy, or you say, keep your head up, or you say just something, yeah, where there's almost like an understanding where if a guy just gives another guy a look, there's a, all right, I won't cross that line if you don't cross that line.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff happens all the time. Sometimes it's just even a talking to, especially if it's kind of early on in the game, if someone is running around, it's, you know, you just kind of let them know that's your last hit, or, you know, I'm coming after you. And then, you know, there was an incident last year when we were playing Anaheim, and it was 10 minutes left in the game, 1-1, and then Pacioretty kind of got hammered from behind, and, you know, had to kind of be helped off the ice, and it was a 1-1 game, and I didn't really want to go sit in the box, and but I, you know, I just felt I had to do that. Pacioretty was our best player, and I felt I needed to stand up for him and make a point to the team and make a point to other teams as well. You know, you're not just making a point that game, you're making sure other teams know that they can't do that to your best players.
Brandon, you brought up Max Pacioretty, and I don't want to go too much into the Canadians, but this is just I think a question, you know, you had first-hand knowledge on this whole thing. Josh George has left, Brian Gionta left, you left, you know, you were the three guys that just were the leaders of this team. And do you think PK and Pacioretty will be able to fill that void? Because I really do think, and it looks like those are the two guys that have been put into the situation, you know, PK with assistant captaincy and Pacioretty with the captaincy awarded to him. Do you think those guys will be able to fill that void?
Yeah, it's a tough void, obviously, with losing leaders all the time. But it's all about guys stepping up. So you know, Patch is a great leader. He's going to be a great captain for them. I think he's maturing a lot as a player and a person. So, but you know, like you, it's tough for me to comment too much on Montreal.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what's how it's going to be there, you know?
Well, now your mind's like, go Vancouver, forget about that. So, dude, I totally, like, you should be happy. You're now in Vancouver, you know, that's a nice place, you know? It's not like you went to a bad hockey market. You're at a place where it's going to be fun there, huh?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting the season started. It's beautiful out here. They got a great organization. They treat the players good. I'm getting to know the guys. You know, we got a great group of guys here. So definitely looking forward to it and excited for the opportunity.
Russ, the other night you had 15 minutes of ice time against San Jose. Just quickly, what's it like for a player after an off season where you recover from a playoff run, you take some time off where you don't even touch the ice, and then you kind of get back into it? When do you start really working out again, and then when do you really start, okay, now I'm back into the hockey grind of things?
Well, it depends how long you play the year before, but this year I think, you know, I started working out right in July. You know, you're doing you're building your base, or you're packing on some weight, you're building up muscle, and once August kicks around, that's when you start skating. I mean, you're on the ice probably four or five times a week. Once August kicks around, you're back at it. So I usually take a few weeks off after the season, and then I'm back in the gym. It's kind of, you know, I've been training for a lot of years, so I kind of got a good routine down. So it's a lot of work, but it's fun too. You know, it's something you got to do. You got to go into camp in tip top shape nowadays. You can't go into camp to get in shape anymore the way it used to be. Now you're going there and you're in some of the best shape you've ever been in.
Yeah, Brandon, this will be my last question. And man, thank you for coming on. You know, I know this is probably one of the busiest times of the season for you. So just thanks for coming on. And you know, with this role, you know, you're going to be fighting. You're going to be playing the way what you have to do. Are you ever nervous? And I know, like, that might be like a weird question, but to the average Joe fan, you know, like, I know you've been in the NHL, you know, you're a veteran, you've played this game. Do you still go into the games with goosebumps and like, man, this is going to be a big game or something like that? Like, do you still have that feeling?
Yeah, for sure. You get a little more, I think, as the years go on, you get a little more confident, but you still, I mean, even for last game, my exhibition game, just the other day, my first exhibition game, my first game as a Vancouver Canuck, you know, I had some nerves going. I was, you know, it felt like almost like a little playoff game for me. So, yeah, you still get those. I mean, that's why we play the game, for those feelings right there. That excitement, that nervousness, those butterflies in your stomach. And, yeah, that's one of the reasons I love the game.
Last question for me, Brandon. You're 49 games away from a career 500. And as I was looking up your career before we had you on, and you just go down the list, you know, you had some really good runs with the Rangers for a few years. You had the one really nice one with the Habs. You obviously had the Memorial Cup Championship in London. In your hockey career, what moments really stand out? Because you're 31 years old right now. You've had 100 career points. And like I said, you're close to 500 career games. which for a player in your role, like that's a it is an accomplishment. Just in your career so far, what's something that you can look back and go, nice, you know, like that was the standout.
Yeah, there's obviously a few. Obviously, the Memorial Cup to kind of start off my career and my junior career. You know, that year in London was huge and something that you'll never forget, and you still relive in your mind every once in a while. So, as a professional, I think just some of the playoff runs, you know, with New York, going to the conference finals, with Montreal going to the conference finals, just, you know, those playoff experiences, I think are something that I'll always kind of take with me and stuff that I'm definitely proud of.
Well, I certainly hope that you have a few more before you call it a career. Brandon, thank you so much for coming on the show. We do appreciate it, and hopefully we can have you back on the show again soon. Thank you so much.
Yep, no problem, guys. Anytime.
This episode of the Hockey Guys podcast is brought to you by Justition Hockey, one of the leaders of the hockey fashion industry. Visit justitionhockey.com for more information on their top-of-the-line hockey apparel.